Now, your white colonisers in this place may well have suffered from allium phobia. That what, you may ask, is that? I can tell you, a fear of garlic. We were very much a meat and potatoes country. Bit of mutton. None of that fancy food, you know, the stuff you can taste. Then came World War II and immigration, wave after wave of people who actually liked food. It's a sequence of events that food writer John Newton explores in his book, The Getting of Garlic. John, welcome.
Good morning and thank you.
It is utterly impossible to imagine cooking without garlic, and yet...
We did. And many still do, by the way. Garlic is banned from being included in foods eaten by royal family members.
Is that right?
Yeah, the Queen is known to hate garlic and has none of it in her food.
Prince Harry?
I don't know. I think Meghan might eat a bit, but, you know, Lizzie doesn't like it.
Well, okay. That is interesting. And I guess that if anyone was going to be a last holdout for good old British cooking, it would be Her Madge. I mean, and this is the thing, I suppose, that in this country, colonially, we inherited those rather bland tastes.
That's very interesting. And what is most interesting, I mean, first of all, the people who came here and invaded or colonised, whatever you prefer, were cut off from their food culture for many years by the Industrial Revolution and by the Agricultural Revolution too. So they arrived here and then they imported not only what they ate but all the produce. And curiously enough, we stuck with that rather bland diet for 200 years. That's the really strange part.
Do we have a record of when the first garlic arrived in Australia?
Well, there was garlic on the first fleet.
Okay.
According to one of the two sources I found, I think it's called The True Story of the First Fleet by a man called Frost had the garlic. The other source didn't have garlic and it arrived. And from then on, it didn't really take root, as so to speak. Mm. It wasn't featured in very many, in fact, hardly any of the cookbooks that I went through for this book. The very first cookbook had a little bit in it. The Abbott book had some garlic.
What's the Abbott book? When was that?
Oh, the Abbott book was 1864, and it was called The English and Australian Cookery Book, written in Tasmania, published in London. And it was written by a person who called himself an Australian Aristologist, who was Edward Abbott. And he did discuss garlic a bit. He didn't have much of it in there at all. But then, from then on, nothing. The second book, The Art of Living in Australia, which was written by Dr. Philip Musket, no garlic at all.
See, this is a thing that I think people used to think it was a thing of such sort of pungency and strength that was, if used, was... very sparingly done. You tell a story about how your mother used to use garlic.
Well, it's funnily enough, I have this. Many mothers did the same thing. They would rub the clove around the edge of the salad bowl and then discard the clove.
That's great.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure what that does.
Just a reminiscence of garlic.
So, I mean, this is an interesting, this raises issues of Australian food culture, I suppose, or, you know, post-colonial Australian food culture, which is very much an imported entity.
Exactly right. What we have is, even when the new lot came after 1945, the majority of the new lot came, they also brought their own food and didn't want to have anything to do with what the natives ate, which is fair enough. And over all that, of course, we never looked at what was growing here for a very long time. So it's a strange history of food in Australia.
Do we know if Indigenous Australians had some sort of a garlic-ish bulb that they may have used?
No, that's curious. There's no alliums native to Australia.
Okay, so maybe it's a meat and potatoes country from way back.
Oh, no, they had some wonderful flavoursome things. I mean... my previous book is called The Oldest Foods on Earth, which is a history of Australian native produce, and that goes through that. But they have pepperberry is extraordinary flavour, very hot.
And, of course, some of those, you know, if we talk about evolving Australian food culture, I mean, one of the big things we're doing right now is trying to investigate some of those Indigenous foods, the foods of Aboriginal Australia.
Right. It's one of the contentions of my book, and one that gets me into trouble hugely, is we don't have an Australian food culture.
Well, now, that make that argument.
Well, the most obvious pointer to that is that we have no recipes. There are no Australian recipes. There are no regional Australian recipes, with the single exception of the Barossa Deutsch, a small group who came over here, I think, in the 1860s. And they imported a small mixed farm economy. Mm. And with that, they brought their own food from places like Silesia. And they adapted to where they were by substituting products that they had here for what they could no longer get, which is one definition of a kind of an imported food culture. But that's it. We had, if we have to be defined as Australian, we define ourselves by Vegemite.
Or a pie floater.
The pie floater is, that's another one. The pie floater is the only item of regional food I could find after much investigation.
I would make a counter case, and my case would be this, that Australia is, I think, tremendously blessed in having this food culture, which is multi-sourced and diverse. I mean, it's like no other country on earth, almost.
And I agree with you entirely, and I think that's the point. We shouldn't be looking for a Australian cuisine or an Australian food. We should enjoy exactly what I call mongrel cuisine, which is as diverse and as mongrel as most of us are.
And that will include a fair bit of garlic.
We've come around to it. We've come around to it. And we are more and more turning back to the Australian garlic, away from that terrible stuff that comes in from China, which has been treated with methyl bromide and possibly irradiated and all other things, and has no flavour.
Well, it's tricky, isn't it? Because it is intensely seasonal. I mean, anyone who grows a bit in their backyard will know that they're waiting for late summer to get their garlic out. But I guess that's another Australian blessing that we have. A range of climates where...
We have a range of climates, but there is also, if you have lived in a country like France or Italy or Spain where I lived, there is no garlic out of garlic season, because they have done what we're learning to do now, yep, which is to plant the right kind of garlic for the right place. And we are also investigating methods of storing it so it will last all season. So within about 5 years, according to the people that I've spoken to at the Australian Garlic Industry Association, we should have year-round garlic, fresh garlic from Australia.
As you say, it is not just a single bulb, a single plant. I mean, there are so many varieties.
Well, there are 350-odd varieties and at least 1,000 cultivars from those varieties.
Wow. Your interest in garlic and this sort of idea, I guess, of trying to define Australian food culture through that prism, how did that come about?
Well, the book arose out of a thesis, a doctoral thesis, which I had to rewrite and turn it into English, of course. And although I was very lucky to have a supervisor who liked good writing, and I had noticed the lack of garlic, and that was an intriguing thing, as well as the 200 years of sticking with the blandness of the Anglo-Celtic British cuisine. And I then sort of realised a little epiphany I'd had. And I date all this from around the beginning of the 1970s. Two things happened. The one thing that happened was a general and universal. Even though we were invaded by garlic munchers from 1945 on, we didn't much like what they were brought in with us. In fact, we told them to stop using it because it smelt the street out. And then in 1972, a very important thing happened. The jumbo jet arrived.
Ah.
And
do
that
tell.
Was yeah. Well, that was in alongside the fact that we had very high disposable incomes, and marketing took over, and we just left the country in droves for the first time really ever to go out en masse to places where they ate good food, not just Europe but Asia. There was the hippie trail, of course. Everyone, you know, roared across the hippie trail and learnt about the food there. So I think that was the main thing. The second thing is an epiphany of mine in a restaurant in Sydney called the Costa Brava, where I was given a bowl of a thing called garlic prawns.
Right.
And I don't know, you've probably had garlic prawns.
Never look back.
That dish, that little earthenware dish with sizzling olive oil and garlic and chili and prawns, they used as much garlic in that one little dish than my dear old mum would have used in a year. So that was my personal epiphany. And I thought, well, that's not a bad that's not a bad thing to hold up as a kind of a the turning point, the fact that garlic suddenly became used a lot more in Australian cooking.
I think your mid-century encounter with garlic prawns is a bit of a gateway. Gateway alium experience for many Australians.
I think as I talk about the book, there are restaurants all around Australia which served garlic prawns in exactly the same way.
It is an interesting thing that in almost every cuisine in the world, I'm trying to think through various cookings of all sorts of Asian foods, of Indian foods, of European foods, of African foods, of Arab nation foods. Almost the unifying factor is garlic.
curiously, in India, where it probably originated around there are a lot of religious proscriptions on the use of garlic and onion.
Yep,
because it inflames the passions.
Maybe that's why Australians were so wary.
And also, its smell meant the presence of evil spirits. So that's very strange. Not all Indians, of course. I mean, there are those who eat as much garlic as the rest of us. But
do you grow some yourself now?
We do. What I do, and not terribly successfully, I'm more successful with turmeric. When it sprouts, you just put it into the garden, and when it's ready, the leaves will die off, and you pull it out.
Very easy, but requires a certain amount of patience. But
certainly does. It certainly does. So I go to my greengrocer and get the good stuff.
John, thank you so much. And look, a fascinating book and a remarkable aspect of Australian food culture. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Jonathan.
John Newton, he's a food writer. He is the author of The Getting of Garlic. We'll pop a link up to the full description of that tome on the Blueprint website.